What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWG Sports, coming to you live from Tampa at SEC Football Media Days kickoff 2026. We spoke to Eli Drinkwitz a little bit earlier. I spoke to some of the Missouri players. Josh Heupel going here in just a little bit, along with the Tennessee players. Obviously, we're focusing on Arkansas opponents. You've got four Arkansas opponents coming up Tuesday. And, throughout the week. Of course, Arkansas is going Thursday morning. We'll have a little bit of an opportunity with them late Wednesday afternoon. They'll get in and obviously start their circuit on Thursday morning. And we'll have all that coverage here on Hog Sports. All right, let's get into it. Arkansas is a hard-working state. We know you need to make your dollar go further. And affordability is important. We've made the Crane Team home of affordability for Arkansans. Fuel economy, low financing rates, and low, low prices. We've made it easy. Get up to 40 miles a gallon when you shop a new Kia K4 or Hyundai Elantra. Your choice, just $22,995, or a new Sportage or Tucson for just $399 a month. We all do better when we help each other. Let the Crane Team help you get on the road today. Visit craneteam.com.
Arkansas is a hardworking state, and we know you need to make your dollar go further. Crane Team's the home of affordability and a simple buying process. Fuel economy, great financing rates, and low, low prices. We've made it easy.
Get up to 40 miles per gallon when you shop new Kia K4 or Hyundai Elantra. Your choice, just $22,995. Or new Sportage or Tucson, just $399 a month.
The Crane Team is here to put you on the road today. Visit craneteam.com.
Visit craneteam.com. All right. Well, the internet's very spotty. Of course, you would expect that at an event like this. So I am up in my hotel room. You wouldn't know, but I am in Tampa. Got in last night. Had a little mahi-mahi for lunch. Watched Eli Drinkwitz. You know, Eli Drinkwitz, I thought one of the interesting things that he was saying was that the Arkansas game is personal to him. And I think, let's bring up Missouri's schedule real quick. I think they play three Arkansas. Yeah, the internet's a lot better here in my hotel room. Yeah, they play Arkansas Pine Bluff, Arkansas Pine Bluff. I think they played UCA last year. That's what it was. Because one of the players was like saying like he gets up for all the Arkansas teams. So, but he said it's personal for him. It was news to him that the game was even being moved from the last weekend of the regular season. That game is now being played obviously October 31st in Fayetteville, back-to-back weekends. Now they get Texas A&M back-to-back home games the last 2 years, and then they get Texas A&M back-to-back just because of the nine-game schedule kind of messed some things up for them and stuff. So Arkansas does play Missouri Halloween in Fayetteville. Okay, what do we want to get to first? Congratulations to Spain, win over Argentina in the World Cup. That was a lot of fun. I'm not a big soccer guy, but seeing all the, you know, foreign invaders coming in and their reaction to American culture and stuff, and, you know, people that have only really seen, like, you know, big cities, New York, Dallas, L.A., like, they haven't seen, like, America, you know, the heartland of America, the South, and all that kind of stuff, or any preconceived ideas that they might have had. And I thought that was really fun to watch all the social media stuff about them. I'm not like a huge Bill Maher fan or anything, but he had a great bit on it, just like reminding us that, hey, America's pretty awesome. Don't forget that. Arkansas basketball to face Indiana in Madison Square Garden. That's going to be on November 17th as part of the Bad Boy Mowers series. So there's a lot of interesting, I mean, like, if you're an Arkansas basketball player, like, this is like a dream, really. Like, if you're a fan, I don't know what big games we've seen in Bud Walton Arena. And last year really wasn't, I think maybe Louisville or something last year. I don't even remember. But obviously they're going to the Bahamas. They'll play in the Bahamas July 31st, which is a Friday, August 1st, August 3rd, and August 4th. They've got obviously four games. They'll play Bahamas national team, Carleton University, Toros del Valle, if that's how you say it, and University of Calgary. And then CBS in the Thanksgiving Classic, they've got Michigan State. That'll be played in Detroit. Second year in a row they played Michigan State, North Carolina. That'll be in Chapel Hill. And the Hall of Fame series against Arizona in Phoenix. That's December 19th. And then, of course, the game against Indiana on November 17th. So a lot of marquee games. I mean, these are all like Michigan State, North Carolina, Arizona, Indiana. Those are all big-time program names. And so, yeah. Slight uniform change for Arkansas football. Nothing too dramatic. And I knew that they weren't changing uniforms. Maybe this is something that they'll look at next year. But the DMAC uniforms hadn't been very successful for Arkansas. They were introduced in 2018, actually a split variation because it was actually the alternate jersey. So they had the home version, which they wore for home games, and they still wore the away jersey from the previous deal with the newer Arkansas script on it from, you know, the Brett Bielema era. And then the next year they went full red and white. But the only real shift with these is they're moving the SEC logo from here to a smaller logo here, and then they've got the Tyson logo. I've got that backwards. It's over here. The Tyson logo's here, so the SEC moving from here down, so from the right shoulder. But that's the only change with the two jerseys from the past. It hasn't been a very successful changeover. Of course, the original McFadden jerseys were actually Adidas jerseys. I don't know if you guys know that, if you remember that. Davion Thompson is reclassifying, joining the 2026 roster. So I've got to shift something here. Woo! Hello, nice and close. Yeah, we're making shift here, and I forgot to put that iPad in steady staying on mode. So, but Davion Thompson is reclassifying to from the 2027 to 2026. This was something that is expected, obviously, with, you know, following the Peach Jam. So he's kind of changed from, he was previously, and this happens when guys reclassify a lot of times, but he went from like number 21 overall for the class of 2027. Again, let's see, number 5 point guard. So he is now the number 42. This is on the composite, the number 42 player in the country, the number 4 point guard for the class of 2027. Six. And I think this is a positive move for him. I mean, first of all, he gets paid earlier, you know. He gets to, even if he doesn't play a whole lot, which he is a true point guard, and I'm not sure Arkansas really has one. Maybe they do. But he gets to come in and practice, you know, in a college environment. So even if he doesn't play a lot this year, he's going to play a lot the next year and have that kind of under his belt. So maybe get off to a really fast start being able to do that. And had a pretty good Peach Jam showing. Let's see. He had he was averaging 20 points, 4.7 assists, 2.3 rebounds, 1.7 steals, shooting 41.5 from the field and 42.9 from three-point range. This was, I think this update was from July 17th. So, Origiu, who also we're expecting to reclassify to 2026, the center, who's committed, he's the top 50 prospect in that in the 27 class. He hasn't put up a lot of points, but he's averaging like 11 rebounds, or averaged 11 rebounds in the Peach Jam. And let's see, averaging 5.7 points, 9.7 rebounds. Excuse me, he had back-to-back 11 rebound games, 1.7 blocks, and shooting 58.3%. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years. Going on 26, Bo. It's been a long time. I'm trying to bring up my graphic here for Bo. Boom. There it is. Well, I've known Bo for 25 years. When I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like Auto Owners Insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto Owners Insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give them a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. How's my audio and everything? Let's see what we got with the comments. All right. Yes, you're getting a Trey Biddy today. All right. So I was thinking about, you know, looking at the Arkansas football schedule, and, you know, you open up with North Alabama, should be a win. And we've talked about this a little bit, but that Utah game is so critical. Utah, I don't know if you guys know this, but since 2003, they have like a 77.1% winning percentage at home. All right, the last few years, it's more like 13-9. Now, they went 5-1 last year at home, but the last 3 years, they've struggled a little bit more than they're used to. They went 13-9. But that's such a critical game for Arkansas. If you can go on the road with a new team in an environment in a state you've only been to one other time, they played BYU there in 21, or is that 22? That would be, it would just be incredible for this program, okay? And if they don't get it done, it'll feel like a missed opportunity. You'd like to think that from a talent perspective that you do have the resources to compete against Utah and beat Utah, even if it's on the road. But you got North Alabama, Utah, that's September 12th at 9:15, and then you've got Georgia at home. It's an 11 o'clock game. And then you've got Tulsa. So that you can see why that's so important. Like if you can beat North Alabama, Utah, and Tulsa, a 3-1 start, that would take you a long way when you look at this next stretch. You've got a couple of toughies, okay? At Texas A&M, place hasn't been kind to Arkansas. Tennessee, okay, those are your next two games. Can you beat Tennessee? Yeah, you could potentially beat Tennessee. We've seen it before. Don't know exactly what Tennessee has. But this next stretch, like, say something happened and you won one of those. That would be, I mean, incredible. You're 4-2 if you do that. But if you don't, you know, you're 3-3. Okay. So after that, like if you can build a little bit of momentum and you can see a postseason, a bowl eligibility in your future, there's a stretch. You get Vanderbilt October 17th. You get a bye week. You get Missouri at home. You get Auburn on the road. You get South Carolina, which South Carolina, Auburn and South Carolina, like, I don't know if you look at their schedule before they play Arkansas, but I'm going to tell you. So this is Auburn football schedule leading up to the Arkansas game. This is a challenge now. All right, so they opened with Baylor, then they got Southern Miss, Florida, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas has the toughest schedule in the country, according to ESPN FBI, but this one is up there. It's got to be up there. I'm not sure where it ranked, but Florida, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss before Arkansas. I mean, that's a tough road. And like, again, it's transfer portal era, and there's a lot of new faces. Things go poorly. You know, who knows? Who knows where their mindset is? I do think that they have a good quarterback, but he is untested in the SEC. All right, so then I lost my spot here. Where's the other Arkansas schedule? Okay, so then South Carolina. South Carolina, I think, Shane Beamer is definitely on the hot seat. I think this could very well be his last year. So leading up to that Arkansas game, this is what they've got, okay? So they play, they open with Kent State, and then they've got Townsend, and then they've got Mississippi State. So early on, there's an opportunity for them to build some momentum. Then it's at Alabama. Then they get Kentucky. Here's where it gets, I think, pretty tricky. Florida, at Florida. Tennessee, at OU. Texas A&M. Then Arkansas. And then after that's Georgia and Clemson. I mean, this is a stretch here down. I mean, when you start talking about Florida, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, you know, if Arkansas catches them and then Georgia and Clemson are up next, that could be trouble for Shane Beamer. I think he's in year 6. Isn't that correct? So I'm just saying, you know, a lot depends on how that schedule plays out. This is actually, it may be the toughest schedule that you know, in the country, according to ESPN FBI. Arkansas always seems to have a tough schedule. Danny West made a great point recently about Sam Pittman sitting at home retired with more top 25 wins under his belt than Eli Drinkwitz, who's going into his seventh season, has. Scheduling matters. But, like, when we look at years past, guys, so you got Fayetteville, Salt Lake, Fayetteville, Fayetteville, okay? Three of your first four games are in Fayetteville. You guys know how messed up it's been? You guys remember? Let's look at last year, how the season opened. Fayetteville, Little Rock, Oxford, Memphis. First four games in four different locations. Four different locations. Let's look at the previous year. UAB in Little Rock, Oklahoma State in Stillwater, UAB in Fayetteville, Auburn at Auburn, Texas A&M in Arlington. Five games, five different locales. That is ridiculous. That is terrible scheduling. Now, the Arlington game is on Arkansas. The Little Rock game is on Arkansas. Okay, these are things that Arkansas did to itself. It's not just necessarily up to the SEC to make sure you got things figured out, and then you play that Oklahoma State game at Stillwater. Just saying. Sometimes Arkansas does stuff to itself. Again, Arkansas is going on Thursday. That'll be Thursday morning. We will have stuff with them Wednesday night. You'll hear, you know, just mostly local media stuff. I've broken down my guidelines, and I feel like they did a good job. These are the guys that I predicted that they would bring and guys that I thought that they should bring. Quincy Rhodes, all SEC performer, second team last year, eight sacks. Good in front of a camera. That's very important. Caden Kittler, also good in front of a camera, returning starter at center. That's a good team spokesman for you. And Sutton Smith. These are all guys that come from different backgrounds. Quincy Rhodes coming from, you know, North Little Rock, all the way through the high school ranks, through Arkansas. Caden Kittler played at UCF, started last year for Arkansas, and is a returning starter this year. And then Sutton Smith spent 4 years at Memphis under Ryan Silverfield and has come over with him. It's a good mix. It's three guys that are good in front of the camera. Again, SEC Media Day, not Senior Reward Day. These guys just happen to be seniors. These are not necessarily rewards. These are all good quality players that are going to make an impact, that are good in front of a camera. You do not pick guys just because they're seniors. That is one of the biggest misconceptions I think coaches have, using this as some sort of a reward for good behavior for 4 years. So don't manipulate the event. If you're picking an offensive lineman, you should pick an offensive skill player or a quarterback. They did that. Good job. You must have at least one representative on each side of the ball. I mentioned that Brett Bielema made the mistake and didn't do that 1 year. For coaches, please do not bring somebody if they struggle in front of a camera. None of these guys did, unless they're an award candidate. Like, if they're so good that you can't not bring, you know, Marshawn Lynch at Cal back in whenever he played there because he didn't like being in front of a camera. Like, you got to bring that guy because he's a big-time player. For coaches, think outside the box. Jokes, great quote, entertaining story, something like that loaded in the chamber. If you want good coverage of your program, do not come up there and talk about the academic achievements or the community service achievements. Say something funny, and we're going to run it. We're going to quote you. We're going to put you on ESPN if you say something great. Okay? Say something good. Yeah, it can get used against you, like Sam Pittman saying he wants old cold beer. Everybody loved that. Yeah, that's my coach. And then he starts losing. Oh, cold beer. Oh, cold beer, back at it again. So, yeah, it can get used against you. I always hate that, though. Like, I've mentioned before, Brett Bielema, what a great quote he was, and we just raked him over the coals over and over again. National media just raked him over the coals every time he said something, mocked him and stuff. Like, this is what we want. We want to talk about Bijan Jackson's big ass. We want to talk about borderline erotic beating Texas, kneeling down at the end of the Texas game. You know, get your piss hot. Even that with John L. didn't say that there. That was actually Tank Wright quoting. Somebody asked, what's their favorite thing that John L. Smith says, because he's known for his sayings. And he said, I would probably say, get your piss hot. Anyway, Eli Drinkwitz did a good job. I'm hard on Drinkwitz just because I have a certain opinion about, you know, where Arkansas should be against Missouri and where they're not. You know, I mean, that's been proven. You know, Eli Drinkwitz is a good coach. And I don't know. I didn't always feel like that. I didn't feel like he looked like a coach, but he's a good coach. And he's proven that time and time again. He's had an easier road than Arkansas has, but he's taken advantage of the games in front of him. His players seem to like and respect him. He's done a good job. I mean, what can you say? That versus my opinion of what Missouri is and where Arkansas is and where Arkansas should be, you know, those are two different things. Just not pleased, obviously, like anybody, with where Arkansas football is and that they are, you know, Missouri's kid. Missouri's their daddy, and they love to rub your nose in it, too. They love to let you think about it. Hey, I'd like to tell you about our friends over at Bet Saracen. For those of you looking for place a wager here and there, you can go to BetSaracen.com. And if you use the promo code when you sign up as a new user, use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY, 250, all together. You put $25 down on your first bet, you can get $250 back in bonus bets and bonus money to use at Bet Saracen. So it's a pretty sweet deal. They are the local guys. Everybody else got bought up by the big national people, but not Bet Saracen, local people.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident it's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
All right, check out our friends over at Bet Saracen. How are we doing? I mean, I have not done like a live remote. I wanted to do it downstairs in front of everybody, but the internet, I mean, like to have an event like this and the internet sucks. What are we doing? This is SEC Media Day here. All right. Let's get to some questions. Lewis Gohog says, how explosive will our offense be this year? I don't think it's going to be like dramatically explosive. I don't think you're going to look at out there and say, man, they put up 450 yards a game, you know, and, you know, 35 points a game. Like, I don't know that they're going to be there, okay, in year one. I think that they have potential to move the ball and score points, but to me, the offense needs to be opportunistic and it needs to take care of the football. Last year's offense was pretty explosive. They had lapses. They had their lapses. They had turnovers. They had penalties. If they can, they practice so much taking care of the football, like if they can really harness that. Like we just talked about Missouri. Missouri was explosive. They led the SEC in rushing offense last year. They were only 188 yards a game passing, but they had an explosive offense. Their defense was one of the best in the country. I think they were eighth nationally in yards given up, 17th in points per game given up. One of the top teams in the country in terms of sacks and tackles for loss. Why were they only 8-5 with the schedule that they had? Turnovers. They turned the ball over 17 times last year, and they had 12 takeaways. They were minus 0.38 on the year. So teams like Arkansas and Missouri, like if you're not in the positive camp in turnovers, you're not going to have a great season. Now, 8-5 is nothing to turn your nose up at. But with that schedule that they had, they could have been a better team. And the results that they were putting up. And they had quarterback issues. That's obvious. Like, let's not forget that they had quarterback issues, injuries and stuff like that. But they had a running game. I mean, they went for 322 yards against Arkansas last year. Outscored Arkansas 17-0 in the second half. Not that that's any big accomplishment, right? So, the difference is, like, you can point to quarterback and stuff like that, but really, like, turnovers. Not getting enough turnovers and having too many. That's what got Missouri last year, I think. And that's what got Arkansas last year. Arkansas beats Ole Miss and beats Memphis, if not for turnovers, at the end of the game. If they don't turn the ball over three times against Tennessee, that was a close game. You know? Don't turn the ball over three times. Just a lot of instances like that. And when you look at the forced turnovers, just dramatically low, especially against Power Four level competition, plus Notre Dame. Incredibly poor turnovers. So to me, protect the football, force some turnovers, be opportunistic in those categories, but protect the football, don't have be a big penalty team. You can do those things. You may not be as explosive as you were on offense last year, but you can do a better job protecting the football. And Silverfield's teams at Memphis weren't high penalty teams, and they did a good job protecting the football and getting takeaways. They were good in those categories. That's where Arkansas has to be good. So start with the basics. Be good in those categories. Be fundamental, be sound, and then we can worry about being explosive and stuff. Because if you do those things, you'll have opportunities that present themselves. You know, if Arkansas can end up like a good turnover team, they can go to a bowl game. If they can end up being positive and protecting the football and forcing turnovers, they can get to a bowl game this year. You heard it here. Wes Taylor. And I know that without even really knowing the quarterback situation. Like, I know it's going to be KJ Jackson pretty much, but I don't know, like, how good he's going to be. But I know that if he can manage and protect the football and the defense can be opportunistic, then they can have a shot and they can make it to a bowl game. Wes Taylor, 25, says, Trey, do you think Ryan Silverfield will get the tight ends more involved this year? I look back over the past couple years at Memphis, and they were not used much in the passing game. I like what I've seen from Platt last year and think that he could be a good safety valve for KJ this year. So I know who's going to be involved in the passing game, and that's the running backs. We're going to look at this real quick. The tight ends, I know a dude who transferred over had like six catches and four touchdowns, so they did throw it to him in the end zone. When you look at the receiving numbers, Christian Ross had 18 catches for 174 yards last year. Okay? 18 catches, 174. But you look at the running backs, Desiroses, I'm not even sure how to say it, 32 for 228. Sutton Smith, 20 for 109. Like, you're going to see more catches for them. Matt Adcock, okay, that's who transferred. So he had 12 catches, three of them were touchdowns. I embellished a little bit. I tend to do that sometimes. 12 catches, three touchdowns. Still a high touchdown rate. So they threw it to him a little bit, but, you know, Rohan Jones didn't catch the ball a ton. Like, I was talking up Rohan Jones so much in the offseason, and I don't think he caught a pass early on. I was like, crap, I guess I missed on that one. And then it was like every time he touched the ball, it was a touchdown. But Platt's a good player. Hopefully you recognize, okay, this is where we've got one of our better players, and we're going to get him the football. Hopefully. KP Fowler 2424 says, any insight on Tim Kramsey's scheme? Are we going to be run heavy with short passes? Okay, again, so there's going to be a lot of short passing game. You're going to see RPO, swing passes to the backs, screens to the backs, screens to the wide receivers. You're going to see plenty of throws to the sidelines, short stuff. Okay, you just are. They will attack some downfield, but you're going to see a lot of that. Like, you just are. What was your question exactly? You asked, are we going to be run heavy with short passes? They will run the ball, yes, absolutely. They had, you know, Sutton Smith had 102 carries for 669 yards last year. Brennan Lewis, who was their quarterback, had 151 carries for 665. The running back, this roster, I can't even read that, had 99 for 563. So, and then Frank Pleasant had 63 for 279. They had 2,382 rushing yards last year. So, yes, they are going to run the ball. They're going to be pretty balanced, I think, when everything comes out. They had pretty similar more passing yards, obviously, but, you know, a lot of rushing yards compared to passing yards. So, do think that you're going to see, yes, a lot of short passing game, some attacking downfield. I mean, a lot of it just depends on KJ, how comfortable they feel about him. Joshua 11 says, Trey, from what you've seen so far, what will be KJ Jackson's strengths? And are there, and is there any hope of him being going to? Yeah, I mean, there is. Like, guys, like, it's impossible to tell. It just is. And I know nobody wants to hear people say that, but we see guys all the time get hyped up for their arm strength and their size and their speed and all this kind of stuff, and they end up sucking. You know, and a great example is, you know, Austin, what's his name? Missouri quarterback, Austin Simmons, who was at Ole Miss last year. He's so smart. He graduated high school 2 years early. You know, he's supposed to be in this recruiting class. He's, you know, he's genius. He's Eli Drinkwitz said today he's got a photographic memory. You know, he and all this stuff. And he turns his ankle, and the next thing you know, Trinidad Chambliss comes in, who's short, who was supposed to be like a gadget type of quarterback, you know, situational guy, comes in from Division II Ferris State and leads him to the college football playoff and never looks back. I don't even know if Simmons played again. He might have. I think he played briefly against Arkansas. But, yeah, that Chambliss took over as his team. And they went through all spring and fall camp with quarterback, you know, competition and all that. Like, Chambliss could have won at any time during that. And they still went with Simmons. And you see that all the time in college football, where they pick the wrong guy and they don't even realize it until their starter gets injured and the backup has to come in. And they're like, oh, crap. Well, this guy's really good. You know, look at Felipe Franks. You know, Kyle Trask came in when Felipe got injured and never gave the job back. Ended up going to the NFL. Felipe transferred to Arkansas. I mean, there are so many examples all the way up to the NFL with Tom Brady. You just don't know because there are so many quarterbacks out there who don't have all the greatest gifts in the world, who are great quarterbacks. And then there are guys who have a massive arm, fast, perfect size prototype, like Drew Bledsoe was. He wasn't, you know, super fast, but, you know, they referred to Drew Bledsoe like as the prototype quarterback. Tom Brady took his job, you know, who looked goofy at the NFL combine, who didn't really even start at Michigan. Like, he was an on, like, they traded starters when he was at Michigan. So you just don't know. Hogwild 97 says, who's your leading tackler? And that would be Bradley Shaw. Bradley Shaw had 50 tackles last year, started 7 games for him. I ran into Mark Tarasani here. I don't know if you guys remember him. He was football ops guy under Brett Bielema and then was at Illinois. Now he's at Oklahoma. Nice guy. Good to see him. Connor Goodson says, why is Eli Drinkwitz more annoying to listen to than nearly every other coach in the SEC? He just doesn't look like a coach. You know, he just doesn't. And he's a little smug, you know. He's just not a likable guy, I guess. I don't like his face. I've said that before. He just doesn't look like a coach to me. I don't know. My dad used to say that about Steve Spurrier, though. He just doesn't look like a coach. And he remembers him from, I think that he was at Florida when my dad was at Georgia. But he's just like, I just never thought he looked like a coach. Tinfoil Hog Hat says, thoughts on our coordinators being on the field or in the box? Good question. I could see Kramsey. You know, you've got 13 assistants now, so you've got eyes in the sky. You've got all that technology also, you know, with the iPads and stuff. You didn't used to have that. I always felt like Bobby Petrino separated himself a little bit that last year. He was on the field, and then it was like, let me get off the field, get up in the box, get away from, you know, the eyes until Sam Pittman was fired, you know, and he's back on the field. But I think that, I don't know, I could see Ron Roberts in the booth. I could see him being that kind of guy. I feel kind of like Kramsey's going to be on the field. I feel like Kramsey might be on the field. But you've got quarterback coaches and stuff now that are separate from your office. You've got 13 assistant coaches. Last year you had 10, so maybe it'll be a little bit different. Do we have a better chance of going 1-11 or 11-1? Definitely a better chance of going 1-11. See trickle six. Big DC 77 says, Trey, give us your thoughts on Greg Sankey's speech this morning regarding the college football playoff expansion and the SEC Natty Championship drought. You know, he talked about, you know, getting there, but not winning at all. He still thinks the SEC is the best conference in the country. I think that's challenged more now with the Big Ten, largely due to NIL. I mean, one of the reasons, let's face it, the main reason the SEC was the top dog for so many years is because this is where the talent is. Like, everybody comes down to the South and recruits. Florida, Georgia, Texas, you know. Of course, Texas, you know, wasn't really, aside from Texas A&M, but still, the talent is down here, especially in the Southeast. That is, it's just, there's just a lot of talent. And that's one of the reasons the SEC was where it was. And now with NIL and stuff, the Big Ten spending money, and the Big Ten always used to kind of accuse SEC schools of cheating and stuff. And maybe they're right. But I'm certainly sure that they, I bet if you looked into Ohio State's history, you're not going to find it being squeaky clean either. But regardless, or Michigan, regardless, that's where the talent is. And now I think it's just more spread out. And Big Ten's got money, and there are more schools. And I mean, there are 18 teams in the Big Ten. So I think it's more balanced. You know, will we see the SEC get there? Has the SEC had that? You know, that team with a great quarterback, like Georgia's quarterbacks, you know, Gunnar Stockton's pretty good. You know, he's not great. You know, Florida's been down. Tennessee was down last year. They've kind of been like that. You know, Alabama hasn't had, you know, Simpson's good, was good, but, you know, is he great? Maybe he will be. You know, obviously not having Nick Saban there. So, you know, I think you just got to have that quarterback, and Arkansas hasn't been the team with – or Arkansas. SEC hasn't been the conference with the quarterback. Sorry, I was kind of thinking about what I'm about to say next. Razorback in NYC says, what does Roberts need to do better with his scheme to modernize it to 2026 SEC offenses? I mean, I think he had – like – I don't think he did a bad job at Florida. I think there was a little bit of a let go of the rope, but if you look at, you know, how this defense performed, you know, especially before Napier was fired, I thought it was pretty solid, and I thought he did some good things at Auburn too. I don't think he's like dropped off or not recognized that, you know, you can't just run tight front anymore, like, because teams are going to run more power and, you know, things to combat that. That was one of the things that was an adjustment to the zone and up-tempo teams is running that to force things outside. But they will only run that like 25% of the time now. Like, it's not going to be as often as you see. And they'll still do the creeper stuff, you know, bringing, you know, dropping a defensive lineman back, bringing a linebacker, still bringing four, but still creating some chaos because you don't know where people are coming from. So they'll still do that kind of stuff. But, no, you won't see just exclusive tight front just about 25% of the time, because – it doesn't work, you know, as effectively as it did when teams were just doing zone and stuff now. But he's adapted. His defense is, again, you know, you look at Baylor when he was there and Aranda fired him. I don't know what happened between the two, but they, like, worked together for a long time, and he fired him. And Baylor's defense dropped off the map. They were terrible the year after he left. They went 3-9, I think, after he left. Aranda almost lost his job after Ron Roberts left. And I get frustrated hearing, and, you know, he may struggle. He may have an adjustment period. Who knows? But I get frustrated hearing people compare that guy to John Chavis. John Chavis basically just took $3 million from Arkansas. He was terrible. He was terrible here. He was not motivated to do anything. He didn't care. He didn't know anybody's name. He didn't know the guys that they were recruiting. You know, he was terrible here. Shameful what he did. And to hear people say that Ron Roberts is that is a – it's not even close. And, again, you know, we've been beaten down and, you know, hate ourselves and expecting the worst and all this kind of stuff. to the point that, you know, we're going to compare everybody to the worst possible scenario. Same way with Ryan Silverfield and Chad Morse. He's not Chad Morse. Comparing a guy to the worst coach ever is not really fair. All right, I got to fix this again. If you can tell, we're about to go to a commercial break. I would like to tell you about our friends over at Ozarks Go. If you're looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service, check out our friends over at Ozarks Go. I've had them for over 5 years now. Never had an outage. Aside from like schedule, like where they say, hey, you know, midnight tonight. It's usually been like 1 o'clock or something. But it's only happened a couple of times with that. There's never been an unscheduled outage. But I would like to tell you now about our friends over at Blakeman's. I got to get that figured out where it doesn't go off. It's just a setting. Yes, Blakeman's. Blakeman's. If you're looking to elevate your style this summer, you need to head over to Rogers and see our friends over at Blakeman's Fine Jewelry. From now until September 5th, they are hosting an incredible exclusive residency with Blue Scarpa, a luxury brand out of Miami that's completely handcrafted in Italy. The founder, Matthew, I can't even tell you Matthew's last name, but it sounds very French, calls this jewelry for the watch people. It blends timeless Italian craftsmanship with a really sharp contemporary design. They've got these beautiful distinctive pieces inspired by rich hues of turquoise, lapis, and sapphire. But here's the best part. They are debuting a special limited edition Blue Scarpa and Blakeman's exclusive collection. It's made with red onyx and it's absolutely perfect Razorback red. It's exactly what you want to be wearing on Saturdays this fall. The residency only runs through September 5th, so don't wait. Stop by Blakeman's Fine Jewelry in Rogers to see the Blue Scarpa collection yourself. Barely made it through that one. I got to get that one down better. There's a new ad read. That iPad's a little far away. Okay. The SEC is allowing two corporate logos on jerseys. Does that mean we have one more spot available to sell, or does the Nike logo count as the second? I don't know. It's a good question. Question I don't have an answer for. Maybe I can ask that tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Thursday, Wednesday night or Thursday. Razorback NYC says, why aren't we hearing from the Link U anymore than the first two plus NIL orgs we've had, when we know it's been a competitive shortcoming of ours? So the post that was made, by the way, on our message board from the Link U, that was actually somebody from Houston. It wasn't our people in Fayetteville, and they didn't even know about it until I brought it to their attention. I was like, hey, somebody might need to answer some of these questions, because it was like, hey, we're happy to answer anything you want. So hopefully they've gotten to that. I haven't seen. But why aren't we hearing from the Link U any more than the first two plus NIL orgs we've had? You'd like to see them more out there. It has been, you know, July, the off season. I know a lot of the work that they're doing is with businesses and stuff. And I think a lot of people think NIL, okay, that's, they want the fans, you know, and they do. They want the fans to donate to NIL. But I think where they really are focusing in on is some of the marketing stuff that they've been doing. And you'll see some of the products that are coming out actually also very soon. And, you know, working with the businesses, you know, to like, hey, use our digital marketing firm. You know, it's not going to cost you any more money, and you get maybe even save you some money. And part of this goes to Razorback players who will then come to your business and do autograph signings or do a commercial or something. Like, it doesn't cost you anymore, and you're getting all of this and you're supporting Razorback athletes. That's not the stuff I think that's important that they're doing. Not that raising money through fans and stuff, but you've also got, you know, like, you know, ways to engage. I know that that KJ was up there and he signed like 1,500 autographs the other day. 1,500 autograph signings, you know, and that's, you know, autographs that people, you know, pay for and stuff. So part of it, I think, too, you know, I think you'll see a lot more once the season gets going. You know, this is a pretty new thing. Like, we haven't gone through a football season really with the Link U. So I'm anxious to see what kind of stuff we see as, you know, July is kind of a tough month. So, Razorback in NYC again says, who's been the addition to the staff this year outside the head coach, coordinators, and OL coaches? Who's been the best addition? Best addition still remains to be seen, I think. Let me look real quick what I think. I'll tell you who I kind of like, actually, is Larry Smith. I do like Larry Smith. I can remember when he played quarterback at Vanderbilt, but he's the wide receivers coach. I like his energy, and I like the way he coaches. Yeah, maybe I'll say him. Who else do I like? I like Darren Wilson too. I think he's got a challenge in front of him. But Darren Wilson, I think he's kind of a, you know, a rising guy in the business. Obviously, he was at Arkansas previously as cornerbacks coach. But I've always liked Darren Smith. Excuse me, Darren Wilson. Larry Smith, Darren Wilson. Sure. We'll go with those two. Still to be determined. I may end up hating them. We'll see. If the one above isn't the most competitive in terms of their peers to the SEC, who is the most competitive to their peers in the SEC? We have a defensive backs coach that would be ranked in the top three SEC DB coach. I mean, it's just tough to say. I think I get the question. Yeah, it's tough to say. It's a pretty young staff overall. All right. Razorback in NYC says, pass defense will be more important than run defense again this year. And as we have known for years, pass defense is determined by more coaching for great opponent tendencies than it is about the defense line or talent. Well, I mean, you can't be running 4-7-8s like Arkansas was last year in the secondary. Do you think we'll see a more improved pass defense or run defense this year? I think the run defense is going to be better. I just feel like the defensive line is a lot better, and maybe that'll also improve, you know, for the pass defense. You know, we'll see how that jack position works out also, getting to the quarterback. I think that they have better players in the secondary. I just don't know about safety, really. Like, I think Christian Harrison's good, but for me, like, what if Christian Harrison gets banged up? Then I think you get really thin in the secondary. I do think that they've improved the cornerback position overall. Like, even though Julian Neal was a third-round draft pick, like, I didn't ever feel like, wow, this guy's really good, you know? Did you ever feel that way? Like, this guy. You know, like, other cornerbacks that have gotten drafted and stuff, you're like, Chris Houston's a really good player. Like, you see it throughout the season. Like, this guy's really good. I never, like, was like, Julian Neal, man, this guy's freaking stud. Third-round draft pick coming in, you know? I never felt like that. I think the defense is going to be better than it was last year. And that's not saying much, but I do think it'll be markedly better than it was last year. Razorback in NYC says a top 50 offense and top 50 defense with a top 15 strength of schedule averages over 7 regular season wins a year. Top 50 in either of those isn't a talent issue. It's a preparedness and culture issue. Yes, there's more problems. What will we be more limiting to us this year in that regard, top 50 offense or top 50 defense? Possibly top 50 offense. I don't know that they're going to have a top 50 defense. I just think that they'll be better. But there's more problems at Arkansas than talent. And I don't like when people say, it wasn't the coach, it's the players. You know, it was the coach too. It was the coach, it was the players, it was the culture, it's the facilities, it's the energy around this. I mean, the energy around Arkansas, around this football team, is so negative. I went to the lake, went to Greer's Ferry over the weekend. I came back Sunday, then flew out and came to Tampa. But all my buddies that were out there were just like, man, we're going to suck this year. You know, and a lot of them, you know, pay attention to football, but they don't pay attention that much. Not like a lot of you guys. Like, I don't know that they even watch my shows and stuff. But they're just, you know, resigned to the fact that, oh, they're going to suck. going to suck. I'd love to be good in football again, but they're going to suck, you know. And that's just like, that's the mindset. And that energy travels around that state. And all those players hear it. All those players who are not on this team last year, 60-something guys who are not on this team just hearing how bad they suck. I wasn't even here. What do you mean I suck? I guess it's way better than hearing like, man, you guys are going to be awesome. You guys are going to be so good. Probably a lot better than that, you know, telling them they suck. I'll show, man, if they've got any gumption about them, they'll show you. Speaking of gumption, Gumpster 117 says, who is your least favorite coach to cover in events like this? Least favorite coach. I don't know. You know, I always felt like Will Muschamp kind of came off like an interrogation, you know. I didn't like Chad Morris at this event. I remember coming to the event and going like, I just heard you give this same speech. Least favorite coach. I mean, I don't have anything against Brent Venables. He didn't say anything interesting today. You know, at least Drinkwitz, you know, tried to make a quip here and there. You know, and is quotable, like, you know, says Arkansas game is personal. One of the reasons I'm here is there's so many new coaches. Like, I didn't even come to this event last year just because it was so stale. Arkansas was on the last day. The last day kind of sucked in terms of the lineup of coaches. This year there's six new coaches in this conference. I feel like there's a lot more intrigue this year, which is why I'm here. Of course, I'm missing Tennessee right now. I think I missed all the players and stuff because I couldn't get this damn thing set up. I like coaches that are entertaining. I like Mike Leach. I like Steve Spurrier. I like Brett Bielema. I liked Sam Pittman. I like John L. When John L. Smith came here, he was hilarious. I'll never forget this guy asked, so are you interested in being the long-term Arkansas head coach, or are you just here for a year? And John L. goes, what are you, stupid? Of course I want to be the long-term coach. I just thought that was hilarious. And then there's the whole get your piss hot thing. You know, John L. was funny. He was just in way over his head. And, yeah, those days. Those were rough times. I'm trying to think of anybody I just do not like covering, period. I do not like they would put me to sleep. I don't know. Maybe Brian Harsin. I can't remember. Anyway, he ain't here anymore. And I'm not going to be here much longer. And I want to thank you guys for allowing me into your homes and your offices and maybe on your toilet. You're sitting there watching Trey Biddy on your toilet right now. Your legs are getting numb because you've been on the phone too long. I know what you're doing. Get up and move around a little bit. All right, we'll be back. We're going to do a walk and talk on Thursday. So after the Arkansas stuff. So look forward to bringing the walk and talk to you on Thursday. And that'll be that. Brought to you by our friends over at Sutherland's. All right, everybody. We'll get better at these remotes. I may do more of these. Who knows? We'll get better. I got a few things that like I was like, I should have done that. Should have brought another tripod for that. Should have set that to stay on. That was stupid. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining me. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.